With us right now, Gabe Greece. Gabe, you are the founder and CEO of Excel Medical Staffing. You're found on the web at excelmedstaff.com. Gabe, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Josh. Thanks for having me.
You are also a fellow military veteran, I asked because I saw your little SDV OSB. So not only are you a military veteran-owned business, but you're service-disabled veteran-owned small business. That's a mouthful. That's SDV OSB. Military and government love their long acronyms.
Yes, yes.
Well, so first off, thank you so much. You were in the Air Force for 20 years, is that right?
Yeah, I graduated high school and immediately went off to the Air Force Academy and did 4 years there, graduated and went on to fly C-130s for a 20-year career as a navigator.
Wow. And how did, our disability, so I'm still working with, we were talking beforehand, sure. I'm still battling with the VA right now. I'm on my third appeal because I've got tinnitus, and you're like, yep, that's me too. What happened?
Flying on night vision goggles and flying in airplanes.
Oh gosh.
Just get your hearing every time.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's got to be so loud, but it's the repeated exposure over and over again. There's always opportunity for those loud concussive sounds as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in the airplane we flew was the C-130's cargo aircraft. And so it's a prop driven plane. So just a lot of continuous vibration.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it was a great experience. A lot of time flying over Afghanistan. Best friends of my life through my military service. And in fact, my managing director in Excel Medical Staffing, we met in basic training on June 27, 1991. And we decided shortly thereafter, we'd go into business together. It took us about 30 years, but we got it done.
Wow. Wow. All right. So how did we go then, Gabe, from there from your Air Force career to founding a medical staffing company?
That's a great question, Josh. And, it's kind of a running joke in the staffing industry is that nobody ever grew up deciding they wanted to go into staffing. Like flying airplanes is cool. Staffing is a learned business. And it came from a friend of mine who needed some help in leadership and some financial analysis. And so I did a little bit of understudy with him for a few years in his firm. And under his tutelage was able to then step out and launch Excel. And it was really a neat connection back to the military service time because we did a lot of aeromedical evacuation across Iraq and Afghanistan where we would fly in and as a cargo aircraft, we would be the ones that would move wounded or other folks in different states of medical need. And in the back of the airplane would actually be a flying hospital. So the aeromedical evacuation folks. So seeing what they did was so inspiring and it just really led to a passion of service in this arena after my military time.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, how does someone say, all right, I'm gonna put up my shingle? How does one start a staffing company?
Well, it's kind of a neat journey. So you need really access to two things. The first is the jobs. So you have to have somebody who needs staff, in this case, doctors or nurses or executives. And then you need a database and a means with which to go out and reach them to connect the two. And then as the staffing agency, you're the employer of record. So they're your W-2 employees and you take care of them with benefits and pay and all those things as they go to work, generally in a temporary assignment that lasts about 13 weeks.
Yeah. And, when you, again, you're kind of getting into this space, obviously this is a business of relationships. And so did you have relationships or you're like, well, I guess I better get to know some people. Like, how do you manage all of that?
So it's twofold. So, my friend who brought me into the industry, really was super helpful in some early introductions and some software and just the stack. And so, the tech stack. So it's one of those things that in any business or startup, you know, go with the people you know. If you have a chance to work under or around or near somebody who's already walked that path that started the business up and was successful, there's really no greater way to learn than just to follow in somebody else's footsteps when they've been super successful at it.
Yeah. And then, so was it just you when you started, or like, what was the structure of the business at the beginning?
Absolutely. So it started as just me, and it goes back to the service disabled veteran owned small business moniker. I kind of joke in some ways that when you think back to the 1800s in America, they always imagine the streets paved with gold. And then people got off the boats in New York and they're like, this isn't gold. This is a lot of hard work. When we left the military, the service disabled veteran owned small business designation was supposed to be this panacea on the way to government contracts. Mm. And we've struggled a lot actually in the government space, trying to secure contracting opportunities with the government. But in that journey, we really have launched a very successful commercial space. And so we have a number of major US hospitals that we supply staff to every day.
Yeah. What's going on in the space right now? I've talked with a lot of employers that are really struggling to fill slots. And I would imagine, again, you know, as of when we're recording this, again, the past 18 months have been very taxing on our medical systems. And so does that, well, give us a lay of the land of like where we are right now.
Sure. And I actually, Josh, I'd like to jump back in time and just talk about medical staffing in a temporary arena and why it exists, because people are surprised to even think about it. And it happens really for two reasons. And that is the demographic shift in America. So people travel. A lot of folks will leave New England and head to Arizona or Florida in the winter. And so hospitals down there will need folks. And then there's also a cyclical season of illness around the nation. And so that also increases demand in the hospitals. And that has always happened. And the current situation with COVID and everything that's going on has really only compounded the challenges and the shortfall of the number of nurses out there. And so hospitals are racing and clamoring and in fact paying up for clinicians to come in and fill their needs, because without qualified clinicians on the floor, they can't conduct their primary business and take care of people. And so sometimes they turn people away, or they really try and make do in ways that at times could theoretically compromise patient care. And that's just unfortunate.
Yeah. All right. So now we're kind of in the COVID era and post-COVID era, et cetera.
Absolutely. And the demand still continues. And what we've seen is a lot of burnout from nurses.
Yeah.
Because they've worked so hard. And then we've also seen some nurses go from permanent positions into more of a travel environment where they're taking the opportunity to travel. And travel assignments really align with lifestyle, right? So they really fit with folks who have recently graduated from their clinical training, usually 2 or 3 years after they finish training and have some experience in their specialty. But usually when folks begin to settle down in life, then they want to have a home and a school and be part of the PTA and all those things that a good community offers folks. And then oftentimes we see clinicians return to a travel environment once their children have gone off to school, kind of the empty nesters. A lot of folks will have an RV and they'll travel, and an adventure is one of the key elements that people always go for in the temporary travel workforce.
Yeah. In terms of like overall trends right now, do you find that a lot of hospitals and medical facilities are like, oh my gosh, we have like major, major gaps right now that are being filled? And is it any area in particular? Is it just nurses in general, or are there pockets where it's like, wow, real big demand right now in X? Or, you know, absolutely. I'm curious about your insight into this.
Yeah. So early in the COVID environment, it was a lot of ICU intensive care nurses because people were going on vents and were really struggling. And the operation side, you know, surgical services really was put on the back burner. A lot of, in fact, states suspended elective surgeries for a long period of time. And so we're actually seeing, as the COVID arc begins to fall, we're seeing the surgical side really expand as people had put off surgeries are now coming back to the hospital for those procedures. But overall, staffing is in super high demand nationally.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. All right. So From a medical staffing perspective, do you find it seems like a little bit of a, you know, kind of a, you know, chicken and egg kind of thing? Like you need demand, but you also need staffing, and they have to, you want to try and keep those in balance. And I can imagine there's seldom do you have like perfect balance. What do you need more of right now?
That's a great question, and it is never in balance. Right now, we have probably about 8,000 open jobs nationally, but I also
Wow.
have a database that is approaching 1 million clinicians. And so, really, the issue is just finding that individual person that's ready to go to that location and take that individual job. And there are a lot of massive corporations in the space that are continually doing this. And collectively, together, we're able to source the number of clinicians necessary to take care of folks in the hospitals in their own hometown or anywhere they go.
Yeah. So someone that's listening to us and they like, oh, well, I know someone who's working in medical and maybe they'd be open to a, you know, to a new adventure, kind of thing. Like, what should they do?
Simple. They could just visit us at excelmedicalstaffing.com or excelmedstaff.com is our website. And there'll be a link there for a referral. And there's also a link for an application. Really what we try and do is just understand the skill set of the individual. And then we'll seek to match them both in location, start date, when they're going to be there, pay, benefits, and all those sorts of things to make sure that it's a fit for them and their family.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'm on your website here and talk to me about, I guess it's We Care Values. What is that?
Yeah, so it really was a function of trying to move from my military time in service and then also connecting to what our clients are, our clinicians care about, and really trying to merge their desires and needs and our own values into a construct that will serve our company in growing and scaling and also continuing to serve the clinician. So We Care is an acronym, as any good military person would have, and each letter starts a word, and those words are winning, equitable, clinician focused, adventure, responsive, and ethical. And as you unpack each one of those, we found that those are things that we ourselves, as the staff of Excel Medical Staffing, really care about, but we also understand that those are some of the elements that our temporary staff really, really care about. And so between those things, we can use those as a measuring stick every day and decide, are we taking care of our company? Are we taking care of our clinicians? And ultimately, when that's all done, are we taking care of patients and hospitals all over the country?
Yeah. You know, getting back to your military service, how has that influenced you in business today? So in other words, what lessons or how'd your military experience mold you to be a leader or be at the helm of your company today?
So there's two things that I would really go to. And one was I had the honor of attending the weapons school. It's an Air Force advanced school for flying. It's much like the Navy's Top Gun. Many people have seen that movie back in the day. And we had a moniker as those instructors of instructors, and that was to be humble, approachable, and credible. So you need to be humble so that people would come to you with challenges and problems and issues and be vulnerable and be able to share with you what they were facing. And as they approached, when you gave them an answer, it had to be credible. You can really only lose your credibility once. And so, you know, not making things up, not shooting from the hip, but truly understanding the situation that's there, the rules or regulations that may affect the decision, and then sitting down and crafting a solution. So humble, approachable, credible was one of those key pieces. And then a second one I had from my time as a commander of a squadron where we'd actually go to Central and South America and teach, which was amazing, was I told my airmen that their first mistake was always on me. And I've carried this forward into my company, Excel. And in that environment, if you really honor that you're the first mistake of any of your employees is on you, then it creates a total winning environment for them to go out and break things and achieve things and try things and not have a fear of failure. And the foundation behind that was twofold, that if they made a mistake, I owned it for one of two reasons. And it was either I didn't communicate clearly enough to you what the expected outcome was. So you just didn't understand it. So again, a failure on my part, or I hadn't trained you or resourced you or given you the necessary tools to go effectively accomplish what I had asked you to do. And so I could almost always distill down any mistake anybody who's ever worked with or for me to one of those two things the first time. And I tell them, we're not going to do this a second time, but the first time it was always on me.
Yeah, excellent. All right. So your website, excelmedstaff.com. When someone goes there, you'd already mentioned earlier, you just click on start your adventure here, or I think you had a page that there's find a job. You can click on that and go there. And then you also have a referral program. What's the referral program?
Yeah, so anybody out there could refer a clinician to us. And if they're put on assignment at the completion of their assignment, again, after usually 13 weeks, then they're eligible for just an incentive bonus of $444.44. Mm-hmm. But we also kind of have an interesting twist, and that is we are a company of service and really like to give back. And so we have four nonprofits on our webpage. One is Mickey's Miracles, and that one is exceptionally dear to my heart. My daughter, Mickey, had pediatric epilepsy brain surgery the day before her first birthday to save her life, and she is now an absolute living miracle. She was in her karate class doing an amazing high kick yesterday, but they removed 25% of her brain the day before her first birthday, and she is a medical miracle. And so we support that foundation. We also support Ronald McDonald House because a lot of folks who are out there needing to get their children to a higher level of care can't afford a place to stay. And the Ronald McDonald House is a fantastic place to do that. St. Jude's is an amazing world-renowned cancer facility, and we support St. Jude's. And then also a group called Dazzle Africa. The founder of Dazzle, Stacey James, is a dear friend of ours, and her mission in Africa is building community and saving, you know, lions and elephants and supporting the community growth over in Africa. And so we picked those four charities because they're very, very personal to me and my family, but they also align with many of the things that our clinicians are excited about and support. And so we look for an opportunity to give back to our community that way.
Love it. Gabe Grease, again, your website, excelmedstaff.com. Gabe, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Josh. I really appreciate your time. And I love that you give folks an opportunity to share what they've accomplished and their vision for the world. Thank you.